This is Leafs Breakfast.
Well, obviously, no update today. There's, you know, not much happening for us here today except for getting ready to travel. But it's a possibility for us tomorrow, I guess, is all we would say.
Sheldon Keefe, a.k.a. Sheldon Belichick, with a rather non-informative answer with regards to the status of William Nylander ahead of game number 3 tonight in Toronto. It's a game you could hear on TSN 1050. Perhaps our next guest might have some more information on Nylander. He is TSN's hockey insider, Chris Johnston. Chris, how many times over the last, let's say, week, have you been asked by a friend or family member about the status of William Nylander?
It's been a fair bit. We're getting a lot in Boston about which goalie is going to start for the Bruins. So it's that time of year that this series has featured a lot of gamesmanship on both sides in terms of not wanting to give too much away. And obviously Nylander's situation is pretty unusual in that he played the entire year and then all of a sudden is not available to start the playoffs.
So I'll ask you one more time. Do you think we see Nylander ahead of game number 3 tonight?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if we didn't. Just given the fact that we saw him skate a couple times in Boston and, you know, just how hard it is to miss games at this time of the year. I mean, I would think that it didn't seem to be too grave a concern around him, I would say, internally anyway. And so, you know, I do think there's a high probability you'll see him on the ice here today.
Yeah, I'm with you, CJ. I think the only thing that might stop him from being on the ice today is if you look at the schedule, they don't play again until Saturday. And if whatever he's dealing with could use a couple extra days, considering the series is 1-1, maybe that's the approach they take. But I would strongly believe that he's back in the lineup tonight. Do you expect the Maple Leafs to make any other lineup changes, or do they go status quo?
You know, I guess it's always possible, you know, some dynamic shift with getting last change and the like, but you know, the last game went so well that, you know, I don't think we're going to see any changes. I'm not aware certainly of any other injury issues or anything else that would necessitate a change. And from a performance standpoint, I mean, you know, it would only really be if Nylander comes in. Obviously, someone's probably coming out. I would guess Nick Robertson, but they might have to look at Matthew Nyes too, given the start to the series. But no, I don't go to the rink this morning thinking we're going to see much because, you know, I thought especially game 2, not just the result, but the way they played the game, there wasn't really much there that called for a change.
The play of Mitch Marner has been a very hot topic of conversation in Toronto, pointless through 2 games. If Nylander is indeed ready to return, would you anticipate he plays with Marner and Tavares, or they would look at more of a spread offense approach?
Well, I think you'd see some shifts for sure doing that. I mean, we did see Sheldon Keefe go to that in the regular season. At home you could probably get away with it, but I would suspect that they won't line up that way regularly. But, you know, having Nylander in the lineup just gives you all kinds of options. You might even see the odd shift with Matthew. I think that, Keefe certainly likes to mix and match around. And when it comes to Marner, I think, you know, one of the things that, it might be being missed in some corners as he's had, you know, pretty tough defensive assignment in Boston, not wanting to give up too much against the Pastrnak line coming the other way. You know, that's another thing that, you know, will probably change in this game is Keith will get, you know, some different matchups for him and his line. And, I think it's only a matter of time, quite frankly, before Mitch has his moment in the playoffs. I mean, it's 2 games and it's tough sledding out there. So, I'm not as alarmist, I guess, on that topic as some others.
CJ, I bet you spent a lot of time yesterday listening to some of the stuff that both teams are saying, and to our surprise, it was surprising to see all the compliments come out of the Boston locker room, including from one Brad Marchand, basically saying, you know, throwing all the flowers to the Maple Leafs. They're a good team. They've been the better team. They play different. They're built different. Are you surprised to hear the Boston Bruins talk about the Maple Leafs like this?
Not in seeing the way they played, quite honestly. I mean, this is a different Leafs team. You know, anyone who's watched it closely over the years in the playoffs knows that playoff-style hockey hasn't always, you know, meshed with the way the Leafs were built. And I think that you know, what Brad Treliving's tried to do since coming here is get more players that can handle a physical style and you know, match up in that way. And, you know, look, the Leafs' fourth line, quite frankly, has been really good.
It was unreal.
And you know, has had a lot of ozone shifts. And obviously, you know, it's not loaded with guys that you're expecting to score a lot of goals, but they've made it hard. They've helped grind the Bruins down. And so I don't think that there's any, like, I don't think Marchand's playing any games with that. I think he was just being truthful that the Leafs look different, it feels different. And, you know, to me, and I'm not predicting one team steamrolling the other. I think this just has the feel of a long 6 or 7 game series. And, you know, part of what both sides are trying to do is inflict some physical punishment on the other to, you know, hopefully tire the other one out when it gets towards the latter stages.
And the tire pumping continued from Boston coach Jim Montgomery. He was talking about Austin Matthews, how he's the most dangerous man on the ice, which is true. I think the guy scored 69 goals. I don't think Jim Montgomery is exactly breaking news with that. With regards to Matthews, you saw it firsthand, the performance that he put up in Boston in Game 2. Where does that rank amongst the best performances you've seen from number 34?
To me, it's probably his sort of his signature playoff performance to date, and obviously he hopes to have a long playoff run here and have chances to better it or you know, deliver something more memorable deeper on down the line. But you know, just the how complete his game was. You know, he struggled, for example, in the faceoff dot in the first game of the series. You know, he was dominant there. You know, he was winning his puck battles, getting in on the forecheck. You know, had a couple primary assists and then scores that goal on the setup for Max Domi. So, you know, and then on top of all that, might have got lost a little bit as he swept the puck off the line in the final minute there, you know, when the Bruins are crashing around the Leafs' crease. So, you know, I think that he was extremely dialed in and one of those nights where, you know, a star player just decides his team isn't losing, not on his watch. And you know, the Leafs are going to need more of that from him and from others. And that's really the secret, I think, to a long playoff run. And, you know, the questions about Marner are totally fair and they're the conversation, but, you know, no one player dominates every single night, even the best of the best. You know, I went back and looked through, you know, Jonathan Marchessault didn't score for 7 games to start the playoffs last year in Vegas. He ended up with 13 goals and the Conn Smythe Trophy. So, I mean, you need different players to step up as you go along. And Matthews had his night in Game 2, and we'll be hoping it's a Nylander night or a Marner night or something here as we go deeper into the series.
Chris Johnston, TSN Hockey Insider, our guest. And the night-to-night changes in the Stanley Cup playoffs are so funny sometimes. Like, you look at Colorado, right? And we're talking, man, they're goaltending. They have no chance with Gorgiev in net. And he goes out, and he's really good last night, and they win 5-2 over Winnipeg. He outplays Connor Hellebuck, who may be the unanimous Vezina Trophy winner. I mean, what can we learn about the idea of momentum in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Is that something that is actually real, or is it just night to night, game to game, everything is up for grabs each and every time they suit it up?
I think more often than not, it's not real. I mean, obviously, any team that seizes what they feel is momentum, the Leafs are probably feeling like they've got some momentum coming home, you know, coming back in Game 2 and getting a big win there, playing on home ice tonight. You know, you're hoping to extend the momentum, but, you know, the truth is the matter is that it rarely does continue from game to game to game. You know, and so that's the challenge of the playoffs is, you know, things are going to go wrong at various points, and you've got to find a way to shrug it off and get back to your game and, you know, execute at a better level and not, and all the while you got to block out your own doubts. You got to block out the noise from the media, from the fans. I mean, it's, that's what makes it, I think, so much fun, quite honestly, is it really is a roller coaster, each and every game, and you know, especially in the first round when everybody's got energy, everyone's about as healthy as they're going to be. You know, whichever teams end up playing for another 6 weeks, it's only going to be harder as it goes along. And so, you know, this is the first round. I mean, anything's on the table.
And I think Toronto-Boston is the perfect example of how emotions change from game to game, where after game one, all the horrible things that people were saying about this Maple Leafs team, and then after game two win, everyone's like, well, we're back, here we go.
Get the car flags out.
Yes. CJ, two completely different handling of the situations. You talk about the Maple Leafs and their handling of the William Nylander situation, where there literally nothing's come out about his injury, and then yesterday in Vancouver, like right after pregame skate, it's like, yeah, Demko's out. Not going to play tonight, going to be probably questionable for the rest of the series, and you see how that decision impacted the Vancouver Canucks. What was your reaction when you heard the news about Demko?
I mean, it puts Vancouver obviously in a really tough position. And, you know, I think there's a couple different factors between his situation and Nylander's. For one, Nylander, I do think, is very possible to play today. It's not as long a term of injury, whereas when you're talking about your starting goalie and you basically know he's unlikely to return in the series, I mean, I think you kind of have to address it a little bit more directly. But, you know, it's going to be uphill climb for the Canucks right now. I mean, Casey DeSmith, bless him, but, you know, he allows a goal early in the game last night, and that was only his second ever Stanley Cup playoff start. And, you know, I think the Demko situation is, you know, with him missing so much time, five-plus weeks late in the season, you know, it's another knee issue that he's dealing with. It's said to be a little different than what he had previously, but, you know, unfortunately, injuries are part of this time of year, and sometimes when it's that critical of a player, it's just hard to get around the fact that it's going to be difficult to get through now to another round without him.
So Mitch Marner pointless through two games for the Leafs. They're tied 1-1, are Toronto. And in Vancouver, Elias Pettersson is pointless as well through two games. I guess the difference is Vancouver's lost its most important player in Thatcher Demko. What do you think the conversations in the Vancouver media market will be like this morning about Elias Pettersson?
The Invisible Man?
The Invisible Man 2.0 in the Vancouver newspapers, Chris.
You might hear that. I mean, especially I saw post-game that he kind of addressed that situation a little bit and took ownership of the fact that he's not living up to his own standards. And, you know, he's struggling. I mean, there's no way around it. And I don't think there's any reason to shy away from it. He's far from the first great player who hasn't really experienced the playoffs in the same way he is right now to go through something like that. So I don't expect those conversations will be too measured or too you know, too reasonable, but, you know, that's part of what we're dealing with in the Canadian markets or the most passionate sports markets is it's the roller coaster on the ice. It's a roller coaster kind of in the media or in the fan base too. And if Pettersson comes back and has a hat trick, you know, they're going to be building a statue for him in the next game. So, I mean, that's kind of just, I mean, it really is just how it goes. I don't see any way around it. You know, because every game is so important and, you know, fortunes can flip in 48 hours. So, you know, Pettersson's, you know, hasn't performed up to the what you'd expect at this point, but he's still got at least three more games to try and do it.
So, CJ, we opened the show talking about how great the first round of the playoffs have been because we've seen some amazing atmospheres in a lot of these games that have been played. And obviously you were in Boston. You saw, you heard, you felt what that energy's like. Do you think Scotiabank Arena can replicate any type of those same situations that we've seen so far?
In playoffs, I do think so. I mean, I've attended all the playoff games that the Matthews era has, and Marner era has encapsulated, and there's definitely been some nights where Scotiabank was loud. I mean, I don't know if it can get to the same level as what you've seen in other places because, you know, and you can't get around the fact it's hard to get a ticket. I don't think a lot of the maybe hardest core fans are going to be in the building, but I think it'll be a great atmosphere at the game tonight and especially Saturday. I mean, I have to say, it was much better in Boston on Saturday night for that game, but it's an 8 o'clock start on a Saturday. I'm sure people had a long pregame.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of people in the building weren't worried about work the next day. Yeah. You know, Monday didn't have the same buzz even in the lead up, you know, not related to just the fact the Bruins didn't win. So, you know, I'm expecting by the time we get to Saturday here that, it'll be a pretty rockin' building on Bay Street.
Chris, Carlo and I will be in attendance tonight, so we look forward to seeing you. Also, maybe let the Leafs know to flash to Carlo on the Jumbotron. He will go full Jason Kelce, shirtless, chugging beers to get the fans fired up. That is his commitment to the cause.
Is that a real thing?
I mean, it could be. I mean, we can make it happen.
Do you want it to be a real
thing,
CJ?
Let's see.
I would love that. Yes. So.
that would be something special.
How do you think the bosses at TSN would react to me going shirtless on the Jumbotron?
In the media section, by the way, I should add. Like, Steve Simmons is next to Carlo. He's like, what the hell's going on?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. You weren't the invisible man I was talking about.
I thought you were going to be in a box or something with somewhere like that so you could be...
No, I'd be right next to you, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. That would
be... Okay, well, I wouldn't recommend taking your shirt off in the press box.
I disagree. That's where we differ on opinions, Chris. It's good for show content. That's what we need. I hear on TSN 1050. Thanks, man. We appreciate the time. We'll see you later tonight.
Yep. See you guys.
All right. See that you, is pal. Chris Johns. The luchador mask? Shirtless? We'll
see,
bring
here's
some
the
beers?
Thing. If I wear a luchador mask, I could always deny it wasn't me.
That wasn't me. No, that was my brother Paul.
Yeah, wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking
We're
about.
We're identical twins. I don't know.
That was Rey Mysterio. Yeah. No, that was Jason Kelsey.
That was Jason Kelsey. Yeah, I mean, yes. I think back in the Raptors run where Jackie McMullen of ESPN was so disgusted by our behavior in the press box, MLSE might have learned its lesson allowing us into the building, but apparently not. We'll be back tonight. The Leafs and the Bruins game three. You can hear it on TSN 1050. This hour, first up, was brought to you by 2for1pizza.com. Get a free medium one-topping pizza with a $25 minimum purchase before tax and delivery. Online orders only. Visit 2for1pizza.com and use the coupon code FREEM. When Joe Bowen joins us, he will encourage your shirtless behavior tonight. And that the crowd will just go insane. Probably first up. First up, and then
well,
all throughout
here's
the crowd.
What we could do. Here's what we could do. So Joe Bowen and Ralphie are going to be sitting right above us. If the Leafs score a big overtime goal and Bowen's the one having the call for it, we could literally go up there and do a group hug.
Oh. We could. You're right. The group hug with Joe Bowen. And we are just the most objective journalists out there.
Shout with Taddy and Frankie,
Taddy,
who
I'm sure Taddy would love to have a group hug with us. That's something that he would be very much in favor of. We have the keyword for Game 4 tickets coming up in hour number 3. You're going to want to listen to each and every second for that reason. We'll talk a lot of Leafs. We'll also be joined by Andrew Raycroft, Craig Button as well. Big hour 3 coming up. This is First Up.